This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Last night, Bethel City Council approved the sale of property for a marijuana store. For the past few months, Council has been grappling with this potential sale, and as KYUK's Greg Kim reports, Council members understand that in agreeing to the sale of property to the owners of Kuskokush, they came to a conclusion that may be unpopular with the public.
The property sale to Kuskokush's parent company, SNK, passed 5-1. Councilmember Fred Watson opposed the sale, and Cece Franco was absent on travel. This will authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute the sale. Mayor Perry Barr had this to say.
This is kind of like a bitter pill to swallow in the sense of we are forced into a corner to make a decision that is not very popular at all.
Barr and several other council members reported receiving many calls from the public asking them not to approve this sale. Councilmember Mark Springer said he felt dirty about the whole deal.
I think that the city is being bullied to a certain extent.
Springer referred to the lawsuit that Kuskokush owners Jared Carr and Naeem Shabani had threatened to file against the city. He said the grounds for the lawsuit were questionable, but still he voted for the sale to avoid litigation.
You know, going to the bar on this could be a very expensive proposition for the city in terms of time and money.
To review why the city was at risk of being sued, the city of Bethel signed a 15-year lease agreement with SNK back in April. When council members learned they were leasing property to a marijuana store, they said they would void the lease because they feared losing federal grants. The marijuana store owners said the city was backing out of a signed contract, leaving them no choice but to sue. However, the city claimed the original contract prohibited federally illegal activities like marijuana sales. The question of who's right on that issue may never be resolved since the matter won't go to court. While the property sale was Kuskokush's biggest obstacle, the marijuana store still needs to obtain a conditional use permit from the city's planning committee and receive state fire marshal approval. Then, Kuskokush may become Bethel's second marijuana store. The first, Alaska Buds, is set to open later this month. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And in weather news, high winds and warm temperatures caused some flooding in Kipnuk very early Tuesday morning. Facebook photos showed water flowing down slushy roads. Kipnuk sits about 3 miles from the Bering Sea coast. Tribal Administrator Sam Amick says the winds reached as much as 60 miles per hour. But the flooding was gone by the time he got to work in the morning. He says he didn't hear of any damage, but he says the weather has not been normal for this time of year.
Feels like it's been warm. A lot of high winds. I think more than usual even, or a year before.
This situation has become the new norm across the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Late winters and sudden thawing has turned roads into slush and made rivers and sloughs, necessary for traveling, less safe because it takes longer to freeze. There have been reports of little to no sea ice on the Bering Sea coast, which means less protection for coastal villages when winter storms come in. Coastal villages like Kotlik and Hooper Bay experienced flooding earlier this month after a winter storm. The National Weather Service shows Kipnuk should expect temperatures to reach as high as the low 30s for the rest of the week. And in more marijuana news, in a few weeks, Bethel's first marijuana store will open its doors. Alaska Buds is located in the same building as Stan's Barbershop and Bethel Family Dental Clinic. 2 months ago, 47% of Bethel voters wanted to prohibit marijuana sales through the marijuana local option. KYUK's Greg Kim asked Alaska Buds owner if those results affect how he's preparing to open.
Inside the store, Alaska Buds owner Nick Miller sits behind glass counters filled with pipes and rolling papers. Behind him are shelves of bongs. The rest of the store is empty. Miller says the actual marijuana will arrive after the final state inspection on Wednesday, December 12th.
This is the inspection, they call it the empty shelf inspection. They come in and just make sure the facility is what you said it was going to be.
After that, Miller says he'll open in another 10 days. Asked what he thought of the recent election results where 47% of voters wanted to prohibit marijuana sales, Miller says he understands that people are wary. But he says the election results also show people are curious what legal marijuana sales will look like.
You know, they're giving us an opportunity to prove that we're good business neighbors, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Miller says that starts with security.
Look around. Do you see all these cameras? There is not one inch of this facility that isn't covered by video, and obviously it's alarmed and monitored 24 hours a day.
More than theft, he's concerned about preventing a secondary market.
Where they're purchasing it at a legal retail store and transporting it out to some of the other villages and selling it.
There are state limits restricting an individual to purchasing 1 ounce of marijuana flower. However, Miller says if someone purchases an ounce a day for 5 days in a row, the store would have a conversation with that customer.
And then after that, if we think it is a problem, I don't know what steps we would take next, but we would definitely not just stop by talking to the individual.
Plus, an ounce a day would be pretty expensive. Miller says costs will be a dollar or two higher per gram than it would run in Anchorage due to transportation. Plus, there's a 15% city sales tax. Aside from regular marijuana, Miller says Alaska Buds will carry pre-rolled joints, edibles, pipes, and CBD products, which don't contain THC.
Anything you can think of that you would consider a part of the cannabis world, we will have it here.
Ahead of opening, Miller is still looking for people who want to be bud tenders. Bud tenders are salespeople who can help customers with their marijuana purchases. He needs 7 or 8 of them. That will be the final step for Miller, who plans to open Alaska Buds this month. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And finally, Alaska lawmakers held a hearing yesterday to learn more about how tribal compacting has worked in the state. Compacts are agreements between different governments, like between the state or federal governments and tribal organizations, to provide services. Governor Mike Dunleavy has said he wants to have compacts with tribes that cover public education, but his administration hasn't spelled out the details. Alaska Native compacting experts talked at the hearing in Anchorage about the benefits of it. Some sounded a note of caution related to the amount of money and authority the state is willing to turn over to tribes. Melanie Banke is the CEO of Kerouac, a tribal consortium in the Bering Strait region. She says tribes educated community members before the state imposed a system.
The systems have not been designed by us. They're not run by us. And they're not designed for us.
Banke says education compacting could allow tribal organizations to design curriculum and teaching methods that will serve their communities. Her organization provides Head Start and adult basic education, as well as other services. Former State Health Commissioner Valerie Davidson says compacting has led to improved services in areas like healthcare.
In every program in which a tribe or tribal organization has assumed services that were previously provided by someone external to that community, we have seen improvement.
But experts say the details of what the administration proposes will be important. Natasha Singh is the general counsel of the Tanana Chiefs Conference. She noted that the Indian Health Service turned over nearly all of its healthcare funding to tribal organizations in a compact.
If the state of Alaska thinks that it can turn over the responsibilities of the education system without the proper authority and funding to go along with it, we will not be successful.
The State Department of Education has said education compacting could start with a pilot program and expand from there. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.